Dance Rights, the Sydney Opera House's annual First Nations dance competition, didn't go ahead this year. But to make sure the event was still marked, the Opera House created a short archival film called Dance Rights, Deadly Moments. To tell us more, Sydney Opera House's Director of First Nations Programming, Beau James, and dancer Peter Strachan joined Away's Jerome Commissari in the studio. Beau begins by sharing why Dance Rights is so special to them.
Kudos to Rhoda Roberts. Dance Rights evolved from Rhoda and her great vision of bringing together First Nations groups, dance groups, to dance at the Opera House. But also she wanted it to also be a passing of knowledge on too, from our old people back to our young people, and regenerating and reviving dance again as needed. So I think it's since 2015, Dance Rights has been held at the Opera House. It's been held out on the forecourt, so anyone can come and watch and see. And we have had, I was just saying to Peter, 95 dance groups since our Dance Rights started have participated in the event. So
it's an incredible exchange of culture and knowledge. How did it feel when you got your hands on it? You're new to the Opera House.
Well, it was exciting for the first couple of weeks, and then COVID hit, so my hand slipped out of my hands very quickly, which is why we've put together this little show reel. You know, I thought it was really important that we still mark Dance Rights, and it was due to go up this weekend at the Opera House, so only fitting that we give it, you know, some sort of kudos, and our communities have something still to look forward to this year, even though they can't be there in person.
Absolutely, and we'll get on to what you're talking about in just a moment, which is something you've prepared for Dance Rights this year. But Peter, would you like to tell me a bit about what Dance Rights means for you and what role it's played in your life?
Well, from a dancer's perspective, Dance Rights is incredibly special for us because we get to come to the Opera House and be around so many different, you know, traditional and contemporary dance groups all together in the one space. And that feeling, it's just so different than going out and performing and or doing ceremony on your own. But with all different mobs coming together, it's just healing. It's inspirational.
Because you're a choreographer, you've been a big part of Bangarra. Like, is there something about Dance Rights that just hits you right in the heart? Is something special about it?
Yeah, very, very special because, you know, it's not every day you have mobs coming from all over the country, bringing their stories, their language, their dance, their energy to the Opera House. And, you know, I have performed there many, many times, but being able to do that with everybody else, it's so special. And yeah, it's really hard to explain the feeling, to be honest.
Yeah, you agree though, Beau, I can see.
Oh, look, I'm just picking up on what Peter said too. It's about those communities, but it's about us as blackfellas having a space to go and watch all our communities as well. You know, we catch up with each other in those spaces, and you mightn't see someone for months or a year or something, and that's that one time where we all get together and we all celebrate our culture, you know, and it's an amazing time. So I said, one of the only things I've been to the Opera House and seen every year has been Dance Rights as a viewer. You know, and I'm going to dob Peter in a little bit here too.
Oh, yeah, do it.
But Peter has also been a judge for Dance Rights too, so not participated just with a dance group, but has also judged 2 years, I believe, as a Dance Rights judge.
Peter, you were going to let me get away with that. How hard is it to be a Dance Rights judge?
Sorry.
Well, I was a judge straight up, so that meant Janowi couldn't enter.
Like, oh, no.
Could you imagine if my dance group entered and we won? It would not be good, no. But, and my first time being a judge, I was with Raymond Blanco, one of my mentors.
Oh, amazing.
And to sit next to him was, it just felt so good. I just knew that I was in the right place at the right time. And just watching all the different dance groups, it's really, really hard to judge.
I bet.
Especially cultural dance because it's all so different.
You both just got me thinking this. It's kind of like the Koori Knockout, but for dancing, eh?
Hey, absolutely.
It is.
It is. You know, I'm sure that was Rhoda's vision of it, you know.
I love that. That's great. So, Beau, Peter, today we're talking about Dance Rights, but specifically I want to talk about something you've helped produce, Dance Rights Deadly Moments. So can you tell me what is Dance Rights Deadly Moments?
So, as I said, we were all ready to put Dance Rights up this year. Mm-hmm. We had people signing up and then dreaded COVID hit us again. Community couldn't get together and even practice or rehearse. So we had to let it go on the forecourt. But I thought, we've got all this amazing archival footage of the years of dance rights. What if we could pull a documentary together? Now, that was my big, huge vision. Yeah, Bo, let's pull a documentary together in like 3 months and go through all the archival footage. Of course, that was not possible. So what we've done is a beautiful little show reel, and we worked really closely with Rhoda and asked Rhoda to pick 10 of her significant moments she can remember that, you know, we should present about. So Rhoda was really hands-on in the whole curatorial process of this little showreel that we've pulled together. So, yeah, it's just a piece to mark. It's 17 minutes, 28 seconds, but it's got some really beautiful, rich stuff in there that just shows all the stuff that Peter was talking about, you know, that culture of community groups coming together from all over Australia, plus all those underlying issues we have as First Nations mm-hmm. people still resonating, and how we tell those stories through dance and heal through dance.
Well, you actually kind of jumped the gun there for something that I wanted to ask you about, because it was Dance Rights Deadly Moments is specifically some of our favourite moments of Dance Rights. And I was going to ask, how did you choose? Was it Rhoda? Was it you, Peter? Like, how did you pick?
Rhoda Roberts.
Well, she knows everything off by heart. She'd be the only person that could just, off the top of her head, choose.
Mm. It would have taken me, I asked 12 months to look through the archival footage to even choose groups, you know. So straight away, just asking Rhoda. And like, that's what I said, this is nine, we ended up with nine moments. We've had 95 groups that have performed in Dance Rights, over 1,300 participants, you know. So this is just a few of those deadly moments. Every moment's deadly. Every community that has entered is deadly.
Yes.
So, you know, it's a very short amount. And look, who knows where this could go? All that archival footage is sitting there. You know, this is could just be the beginning of it. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, hopefully someone picks it up or does something more of this in future, because it's great. I've been lucky enough to see the film, and I was going to let you get away with being a judge. I didn't know about that. But I do know that one of the deadly moments was you winning the 2020 Wildcard Award, Peter. What did that feel like? What was it like?
Well, we got a bit nervous, actually, because we Rhoda asked us to come in and dance early morning up on the Bennelong lawn. And because they're going to announce the winners that day. And I was thinking, oh, well, if we're dancing now, we probably weren't one of the winners and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But it didn't really matter whether we won or not. But it was really, like, it did make me feel really good because we put so much work into it. We created a whole new, like, welcome song with our linguist, the late Richard Green, and Julie Webb, another Darug Knowledge Holder, Matthew Doyle and myself. So we put a special, like, welcome together, and we all learnt the song. And, yeah, and then I had an idea about the Coolamon dance, and I got to showcase that, which I made all the Coolamons.
Oi.
And all the costumes, and the costumes represented Yarramundi, a place where I grew up, represented the river, and the daisy yam, which is a Darug food, and, you know, Darug is the people of the yam. So, yeah.
Well, congratulations. I mean, all the best in future. I'm sure you'll keep competing or keep judging. I don't know.
I reckon we're going to compete again.
Awesome. The competition's incredible because the performances, they're beautiful. They're expressions of culture, self-determination, like knowledge sharing. But there's also often some very deeply political elements to it. For instance, in Dance Rights Deadly Moments, there's one performance that's specifically dedicated to youth suicide prevention, or just teaching mob about youth suicide because it's such a prevalent issue in our communities. How does it feel to be a part of something that is a traditional cultural exchange, but also, as a lot of blackfella art is, deeply political?
That's just the way we are, isn't it? That's the voices we have to have in this landscape that we're still in this country today, you know, and our young kids coming through too, they've got more of these stories and more of these things happening too and more prevalent. And, yeah, I think that's just, it's just a part of our makeup. We've got to have that voice. We've got to stand up and say those things. We've got to make it seen. And as I said, what a beautiful place. You know, the Opera House has such a large voice that reaches nationally and internationally. And for those dance group to have that opportunity to spread that message, I think at that point is a, you know, an amazing thing. And I know it was a really hard dance for them to do. You know, it would have been full of emotion, that dance that day.
Of course. Well, because you don't do a dance like that if you haven't been affected by what you're dancing about. It's really moving. And I've been lucky enough to see the film, and I was really very moved by that. So there's In the film, there's a diverse group of mob all over the country. Historically, have people been able to travel? Has this been an easy feat? Has it been difficult? What are the logistics of it like?
It's not easy, like in nowadays, to be a dancer, to be available as an artist. It's very hard. We don't get no sick pay. We don't get no holiday pay. We get nothing like that. So we're very serious about what we do, and you got to have a lot of passion to do it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, and you got mob, you know, you've got the Central Desert mob coming in. You've got the Torres Strait Island mob coming in, you know, and as Peter said, to get a group together all at the same time too where everyone's available, you know, not off doing stuff or family stuff comes up or, you know, so to get everyone together like that, all making their way to Sydney. And I know that in one of the clips too we talk about the Miriam Murray Island dancers, I think, that made it 1 hour.
Yep.
They got there 1 hour before their heat was supposed to begin because they got stuck in the bushfires coming down and stuff like that as well, you know. So,
and they walk out with the amazing, like, shark headdress, fully painted up. They did it all, like, obviously 60 minutes to get ready before you're jumping on.
You can imagine what it was like in that car, though, eh? Hey, we're not here, come on. They would have been going on in that car. But, you know, they made it and they got up and they danced, you know, and the beautiful Docker River and Mutajul mob, too. Who had just put all their elders down to sing and dance, you know, and they just had Uluru closed, you know, and still practice every day to bring that story down to the Opera House steps. You know, I think they brought like 15 or 20 of their elders down, you know, and even for those elders to travel all that way, that's a big deal.
There's this amazing moment where someone from the Muanjum dance mob, Falau Umbagai, talks about what it meant for him and the mob to travel all that way and what it means to be in Sydney, what it means to see the Opera House. It's beautiful stuff.
It felt really good. It is an eye-opener to see all the other cultures and to experience other languages and stuff. But yeah, I reckon we're doing our people proud back at home. Well, to be honest, we wouldn't have done this without the sponsors. They chucked in a lot. And an effort, yeah, I really thank them too, especially for the kids. First time getting out of the community into the big city lights. Some of them probably haven't actually been on a plane before, never seen the buildings and, well, all of this here.
Do you think that this film would have been made if there was no COVID?
I think, again, with me coming into the Opera House and just my way I was already thinking and looking at what Rhoda had already implemented in that Opera House too, she has done some amazing stuff and really dance rights. It's one of the key moments for the Opera House's First Nations stuff and happened every year, you know. So I think at some stage I probably would have said, let's jump into that archive, but my hand was forced at the time because I thought we need to mark this again this year. I don't want to let it go. So I think it would have eventually happened. How soon would it have happened? I'm not sure. But, you know, it's all there. It's all sitting there, that archive. So.
And, you know, because of COVID, you know, everybody got to be filmed on their country. And, you know, just seeing the South Australian mob dancing in the red dirt.
Mm.
Like, we wouldn't have seen that.
So
and
true.
Just up in the islands, like, actually seeing where they dance and where they practice, you know, I think that just added that extra level.
Yeah.
Because were the heats done on country?
For 2020, that's the way they had to go due to COVID. We couldn't get people to the Opera House, so chose to go onto that digital platform. And, I mean, the other advantage of that too was that I know Rhoda and her team also worked with local film people in those communities too. So it's that spreading of that work too and that content, you know. Local film got to film their own people, their own dancers, which was another great thing, I think, about that on country bit, you know. And as Peter said, you got to see a bit of it at the Opera House, all the different paint-ups, the different language, but then you see the different landscapes and where people are from.
I completely agree, Peter. There's this incredible montage in Dance Rights Deadly Moments where it just flicks through and it's just like red dirt, salt water, like plains, all these different dances. It's incredible. It's like super beautiful. Peter, as with a lot of things First Nation, we use the English word, right? We're talking about dances here. But dance for blackfellas is often more than just moving about, having a bit of fun. There's a bit of responsibility in that, right?
Yeah, like, you know, we dance in different places for different reasons, and being a dancer, we carry a lot of responsibility. You know, we've got to make sure the language is right, the songs are right, we're doing the right thing, we're being respectful, we're honouring our ancestors, we're passing on to the next generation. Like, we just don't step out there and dance. So much goes into it, you know, and there's situations where, you know, we had to dance at the old Parramatta girls' home, and, you know, dancing there, you know, it takes a lot out of us. We're dancing in a place where so much happened to our people, but then at the same time, we're bringing that little bit of healing more and more every time we dance there, and we're doing it for those little spirits that are there as well. So, you know, when we're dancing, we're also healing, and then we've got to be careful what we take home with us as well and what we don't, you know, so then we've got to sort of also cleanse ourselves when we leave a place like that.
How is that for you, being that this is your job and your profession and your passion? How is that for you culturally? Like, how do you stay safe? How do you manage all this stuff?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, it's having that gentle spirit about you as well. And, you know, before we dance, we do put up protection around ourselves, depending on where it is, and every environment is different. So, yeah, a lot of sort of spiritual filtering goes on when we dance and we perform. And I remember one time when I was in South America with AIDT, Aboriginal Islander Dance Theatre, I did a performance there, and this lady came up to me, she was really big in the arts there, and she said to me, you know what, don't give everything away when you perform. Mm. You have to keep something for yourself. I was young, I had a solo, you know, first time in a professional company, and that just really resonated with me because I was giving everything. I was leaving myself open out there, and just hearing those words from, you know, an elder in the arts community, yeah, it really helped me.
Amazing.
It's nice, and that's what it's all about, right, like passing knowledge around. An elder in the arts community giving you that knowledge is kind of largely what these things like dance rites are about, right?
Yeah.
You know, knowledge.
It makes me think too what Peter's saying about, you know, where the space we dance on, Jubagali there, Opera House, you know, really important place. Sung and danced up for years and years and years, you know, and it's still all there. It doesn't matter what buildings are on top, that resonates, you know, it's still resonating, it's still humming with all that.
Yeah, and it's because of things like dance rites that we are able to keep this humming along. Tell me, is dance rites coming back in its traditional form in 2022?
Oh, you'll have to stay tuned. we're doing a lot of work at the moment to, you know, work out what's best. As we said, we had more communities be able to participate than ever, having it digitally last year. So we are doing a bit of background work at the moment on that to see what's the best formula. We'll be consulting with communities too, to see what will work. So can't give you an answer to that just yet. But, you know, whatever happens, First Nations dance is embedded at the Opera House. It will always be embedded, you know. So whatever form it comes back in, community will be dancing at the Opera House.
Going back to Dance Rites, Deadly Moments, the small compilation that's been put together, you've both seen it, I've seen it, it's incredible. It's available to be streamed. If you two knew that someone was about to watch it, maybe they've been listening, they've been thinking, I really want to watch that piece, what's something that you would really want someone to get out of it?
I want people to get out of it, like the general community, like our, you know, not just our own mob, First Nations mob. I want them to really connect, and through our ceremonies, when we do big ceremonies like that, that's where I hope that it's going to resonate into their soul, into their body, so they can connect to our country more and support our mob more and understand us more, because a lot of people don't understand us. They don't connect with us. So it's only through them being a part of our ceremonies and feeling that connection we have to country that they're going to care more about country, because at the end of the day, we're dancing for country when we dance. Mm.
Such a good note to leave it on. Perfect. Well summed up.
That was Beau James and Peter Strachan speaking with Away's Jerome Commissari. You can watch Dance Rites Deadly Moments for free on the Sydney Opera House streaming service, Stream. We'll put a link to Stream on our show page.